Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again today with our study. And thank you for joining in today. Today I want to start out and welcome you and thank you for honoring the Lord today and us all getting together and around His Word and trying to find out what God's Word says about things. And what we're studying now is the study of life and what the Bible has to say about what life is. And we found out quite a few things so far and haven't really come to a conclusion. The Holy Ghost is driving us, giving us a meaning of life from the Scriptures and from all different directions, and it's all headed to one answer. And when we get to the end of it, we'll be able to answer this thing, what is life, by ourselves and from the Scriptures. But it's not going to be what we think it is, like you would ask a question, there'd be a final direct answer to it, and it would finish everything. Every bit of this lesson and all the different varieties of life that we've been studying so far and are going to study in future lessons with this are all going to the same place, but there's just, it's amazing that God's Word could be the only thing on this planet, the only book and the only thing that lives on this planet that could describe life in so many different varieties. Man's looking for life and trying to, and perhaps you were like that before you got into this study, and so was I. I mean, nobody has a description of life. Everybody's looking for a definition of life. What is life? I guarantee you there's somebody out there right now that is destitute, that is depressed beyond measure, and they are just wanting an answer to what is the meaning of life. And they're searching and searching and searching and probably sitting there fixing to blow their brains out because they don't know what the meaning of life is and what life is. What life is. It's a very important question and a question that everybody on this planet runs through their minds at least once in their lifetime. A wonder, what is life? All the way down to the people that live in the jungle and the tribes that are out there that don't live like we do, and just everybody, all the differences and all the different people on the planet and the different cultures and the different this and the different that, every one of them have the same question in their heart and in their mind. What is life? And we're working on that. So today, Last week we got into life, the triumphant Christian, if you remember, and we talked about life triumphant over what? Over what? Well, over sorrow, over the world, over sin, we talked about, over circumstances. I hope you went back over those scriptures. I know you will, and that you do. Brothers and sisters, it's imperative that you, that when we go over these, see, the devil's going to try to rob you of anything that you put in your mind and in your heart from the Scriptures. He's going to try to take that away from you. I promise you that. And you already know that. So what you need to do is solidify it. I mean, if you read it a second time, it makes it twice as thick. If you read it a third time, it makes it even more. And God the Holy Ghost is able to bring that to your remembrance. And you're learning it, and it's in you, and it's, excuse me. And it's working in you. God's Word is working in you, whether you believe it or know it or not. You say, well, Brother TV, when I read, I just completely forget everything that I've read. No, you haven't forgotten it. You ain't forgotten it. It's in there. It's in there. Believe me. Trust me. It's in there. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, and He said that if we would study His Word, that He would bring it to our remembrance when we needed it and help us to remember it. And don't you think that as hard as it is, and it being a sacrifice, and one of the hardest things that the enemies fight is God's Word. And when we do everything that we can to be devoted in our allegiance to the Lord and get in His Word and start studying His Word, that the Lord is not going to honor that and help us to remember it. If that's what your reason. Now, the Lord even said that not to bother the ones that are doing it out vindictively. He's talking about preachers out there preaching the Word of God so that they could cause problems for the ones that really mean it when they're preaching the Word of God, kind of vindictively. He said, leave them alone because Jesus is getting preached. You see, so the Lord even honors He even lets the enemy preach Jesus for the wrong reasons, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel's getting out. Now, we'll talk about that some other time, too, but don't let that blow you out of the water. It's nothing to it. It's simple as it can be, and the Lord's in control of every bit of it. But today we're going to get into another section of life, the triumphant Christian. We're going to talk about the life triumphant through what? Triumphant through what? And the scripture that we're... But first, I want to clarify a few things that I said on that last recording. That I told you that, I know it's hard to believe, but I ain't perfect about keeping things straight whenever I say them. And I might say something that the Holy Ghost reminds me of, and I correct it on the next one. Well, I got two things I want to correct. First thing is I believe that whenever I was talking about some scripture last week, that I said that Jesus said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, it wasn't Jesus that said it. It is scripture, and it is in there, and I was right about the scripture, and I was using it for the right reasons, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ that said it. It was Paul that said it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and in that portion of scripture right there. So that's corrected. And if you caught me on that, glory to God. Praise Him. You know, why didn't you call me on the telephone and tell me? Or send me an email or something. Let me know that I boo-booed. Okay? But anyway, good that you caught it. And if you didn't, you keep track of what I say, because it's what God's Word says. It's what God's Word says that's important. It's what God's Word says of whether a man spends eternity in heaven or whether he spends eternity in hell being punished and in everlasting destruction, the Bible says. The other thing that I said was I was talking about servants. I was talking about servants. And I said that that we are sons now, but we're not servants anymore. Well, that's true and it's not true. Both are correct. Because it depends on what we're talking about and what we're studying. The way that I put it in Galatians, when I was speaking to you last week, recording, was that I said when we're born again, we become sons and we are no longer servants. Well, Galatians teaches that in chapter 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now listen to this. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth His Spirit, sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Remember I talked about that? And then it says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. And God, an heir of God through Christ. So what I said was true, because we're talking about being born again and not no longer being under the law. When Christ came and made the sacrifice for us, then we were able then to become sons of God through Christ Jesus, and we are no longer servants under the law, serving the law, you see. But now, when we do, now, on the other hand, whenever we're born again and we're born into the family of God, we become servants of God rather than servants of sin. You see, it's a good thing. So What I'm trying to say is I didn't want you to be confused about what I said, saying that we are absolutely sons of God, which we are, and not servants. It was the context of what I was describing right there. But on the other hand, in another context, we are servants. We're servants to our Lord because we want to be servants to our Lord because He loved us and gave Himself for us. So there you go. If you call me on that, God bless you. But the Bible does that quite a bit. You can't narrow that thing down. I mean, you can. You have to listen to what the Bible's talking about and what context it's talking about. I heard a fellow say one time, makes a lot of context. A text without a context is a pretext. It's a lie. If you got a text and it ain't got a context with it, or you're just going by one, you can't take one little sentence in the scripture and make a great big truth out of it. You have to read the context and find out what he's talking about. But in other places, well, I'm getting way on into it there, but we'll stop right there. That was another thing that I wanted to clarify, okay? And if you caught that, God bless you. And if you didn't, then there's you some truth that the truth is that I want to make sure that things are absolutely right when we're talking, and that you know that I'm sincere about this, and I have absolutely no intention of teaching anything false at all, and that God the Holy Ghost is true, and He's faithful to get on me about what I say to people. So let's move on. Life triumphant through what? Life triumphant through what? Well, life triumphant through prayer. Life triumphant through prayer. A Christian, when we're born again, our Father, see, God, God does not hear. I mean, He hears the prayers of the unsaved, but God is His attention is not on the unsaved. I mean, even though we're going out and winning them and everything else, God's attention is on what His plan is. And He does care about the unsaved. He saved me and you, and He'll save anybody that comes to Him. But as far as an heir, and as far as being a son, God is not interested in the unsaved as He is in His born again in the church, in the bride, in the sons. If me and you go to the Lord, He listens to us much more than He'll listen to an unsaved person. An unsaved person doesn't have any kind of say-so with the Lord or what he wants to, when he wants to talk to the Lord. The Lord doesn't pay any attention to him unless he's coming to him to repent and coming to him to receive his son. That's when he'll pay attention to him. But all this foolishness talking to God, he don't take no offense to that. He's not worried about that one bit. They're condemned. They're under his wrath. And headed to the lake of fire. And that's it. And if they want to come and talk to him about being saved, he'll listen to that because he's done a great work for that. But if they don't want nothing to do with that, see ya. Now that's the way the Lord is. You better get it right. You better get it right. People ain't just going to get saved because God is good. Because God is good. But God's good on his conditions and his rules, not ours, and not the unsaved. When the Lord gave you a chance to be born again and give you the opportunity and give you the faith to receive Jesus Christ, if you were to turn that down, he'd let you go to hell faster than a bullet. That's right. You better remember that, because it's true. Life triumphant through what? Life triumphant through prayer. We, as the children of God, as sons of God, as the bride of Christ, as the church, we have life triumphant through prayer because we can talk to the Lord anytime we want to. The Bible says that we can. Listen to John 16 and what it says in verse 22. It says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was just saying that, just happenstance, just saying that just because he needed something to use his breath for? No, he wasn't. Prayer is very important. And prayer is something that the enemy, just like these lessons right here, but prayer is something that the enemy fights like crazy. He will fight you to keep you from praying and talking to God. Just try it. Try to discipline yourself and pray whether you know, that he's going to tell you so many different things when you try to discipline yourself to pray, that God ain't listening to you, that, man, you said that yesterday, and you prayed that yesterday, you stinking repetitious hypocrite, and all kinds of blobbity blob. He's going to do anything and say anything he can to try to keep you off your knees from talking to the Lord or have you need to pray. He's going to do everything and anything to keep you from doing it. But we have life through prayer, because prayer makes us strong, and prayer keeps our communication between us and the Lord open, and it keeps us walking confident and to have courage, and it improves our life. Being able to talk to God's a privilege, not a right. But that's true. One triumph that we have about our life, about life, concerning life, is through prayer. Through prayer. One thing that you need to discipline yourself to do, and it takes time, and you don't have to make no excuses or answer to anybody about your prayer. The only thing the Lord wants us to do is be sincere and have a contrite spirit when we come to him and talk to him. And to be honest with him. If you're mad, say you're mad. If you're angry, say you're angry. If you're happy, say you're happy. If you praise him, say you praise him. Talk to him like he's a person, because he is. God is a person. But we have to honor him and respect him when we come to him in prayer. And we have to learn how to talk to him. You had to learn how to talk to your mama and daddy, what you could say and what you couldn't say, and how you should put it and how you should make it sound, and what the kind of just all the things that have to do with prayer. We learn how to have conversation with God, and we have to learn how to believe. One scripture that I really appreciate in the scriptures is that the Lord said, "And how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?" And people say, well, you just calling on him. You don't really believe in him. The Bible says you would not call upon God's name if you didn't believe he was there. So don't listen to the enemy when he says you don't really believe God's there when you're talking to him. Yes, we do. Because the Bible says you wouldn't call on him if you didn't believe he was there. Now, you just use that scripture and you go on and pray, and you know that God's there because you're praying to him, and you mean it because you're praying to him and you're talking to him. You wouldn't talk to him if you didn't believe he was there. You ever talk to somebody that's on the other side of a wall? You couldn't see them. You couldn't see their facial expressions. You couldn't do that, but you believed that they was there. And that wasn't that good of an analogy, but... But you know what I meant. But prayer, life triumphant through prayer. You've got to talk to God. You've got to talk to him. No matter what anybody thinks, you have to have a personal conversation with the Lord and talk to him. It's got to be, it's not this repetitious, mechanical, my father beat your father at dominoes, blah, 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 blah. Not all that kind of garbage, mechanical stuff. I'm talking about sincere, from the heart, believe the Lord's there, have enough faith to drop to your knees and just say, Lord, here I am. I'm trying to figure out how to talk to you, and I need your help to show me how to talk to you, and I want to be excited about talking to you. I want to talk to you all the time. I want me and you to be friends. I want you to be my God, which you are, and I want to be in fellowship with you all the time and be able to talk with you all the time. Well, then you got to go to the Lord. And myself, I pray in the morning and I pray in the evening. And I don't miss it. Not unless there's, you know what I'm talking about. But I've devoted that, and it does make a difference. You're going to have to fight, because you're going to listen to some of the stupidest stuff you ever heard come out of your mind. But prayer's very important to your walk as a Christian and to your person as a Christian. And what we're talking about, your life as a Christian, as a triumphant Christian, you've got to have that prayer. You ain't got to pray if you don't want to. Don't ever pray. But if you want to have a triumphant life, you've got to discipline yourself and incorporate talking to God into your life. It's not mechanical. It's not fake. The Bible says you wouldn't talk to him if you didn't believe in him. And you didn't believe he was there. You have to believe what the book says. So talk to him. Because life triumphant through what? Through prayer. And that's not all. Another thing is life triumphant through Christ's death. We have life and have a triumphant life through Christ's death. Nobody can take that away from us. Christ did it once for all. And if you want it, come get it. If you don't, die and go to hell. That's what Christ done. But for the ones that do want it, it's always a triumph. It always, it's not something that, it's not like money. You get prize money, or you get a reward, or you get a gift of money. That goes away. This don't go away. It's forever. Once, forever, for all. Life's triumphant through Christ's death. He died for us. He did it once, and it's valid forever. And it helps us in our life. We have a triumphant life because nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can invalidate Christ's death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Nobody can make him die ever again. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We have life, we have victorious and triumphant life, because it's through Christ's death. And Christ's death ain't never going to wear out. It ain't never going to become weak. It's always going to be valid, and it's always going to be there with us and for us and in our life forever. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Glad we can hope in that, aren't you? If Christ's death only lasted for 50 years, we'd be a nervous wreck, wouldn't we? If you made it to 50 years old. Because you'd have to start looking for something else. Or how to redo Christ's death. But that ain't the way he did it. It's forever. And it's for all and whosoever. You know, Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can say and prove that he went into death, through death, and out the other side of death, under his own power. The Lord rules death. It does not rule him. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10, listen to this. In verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, there it is. Who's got the power over death? The Lord said, He's got it. He said, no man can kill me. I lay it down myself. He said, it ain't going to happen no more. No man's going to kill me ever again. I'm not going to go through death again. He did it one time. The Lord has the power over death to keep himself alive forever. And a man seeing his day of death approaching would be a fool not to accept and trust Christ to save him from death. If you're listening to this right now and you ain't born again, you better get born again. You better receive Christ as your Savior. And you say, well, you don't tell me what to do. No, I ain't telling you what to do. I can't make you receive Christ. But I'm going to tell you this. You're a fool if you don't. Because Christ done everything that needs to be done in order for you to have eternal life and have a triumphant life instead of that miserable life you're living. And you can say what you want to, but I bet we've all been there, and we know what living in the world and living without God is. And we know what living with the Lord is. You're not telling us, we're telling you. You need Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. Get saved today. You can do that. Salvation is right at the Bible says, and though He be not far off, He's right there. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you'll turn to the Lord and tell Him that you're a sinner and that you want Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to be saved, the Lord will save you. He promises He will. Now that is what the Scriptures say. And if you believe in Him, you will live and never die. That's worth everything right there, brothers and sisters. That is the triumph. Life. You say, do you have life? Yes, I got life. Well, you're going to die? No, I'm going to live. Aren't you happy to be able to say that? Nobody can say that. There ain't nobody but the church and the body of Christ and the people that are born again in the body of Christ that can say that. There's been a whole bunch of them said it, but they're still dead and they're in the grave and probably in hell if they wouldn't trust in Christ. Not probably, are in hell. Now, if you believe in Him, you will live and never die. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yeah, Lord, I believe it just because you said so. Amen. Ain't it good to have a Lord that has never been proven wrong for backing up what He said? There ain't been one person ever prove what the Lord said. Not one thing that's ever been proven false that He said. Nobody's ever caught the Lord in a lie or ever proved that He lied or ever proved that He didn't come through with what He said. I'm glad we got a God like what we got. Ain't you? And a Savior like what we have. Life triumphant through what? Life triumphant through prayer. Life triumphant through Christ's death. And that's not all. Life triumphant through doctrine. We have life triumphant through doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Doctrine is what we believe or what anybody believes to be the final authority of what is right and wrong. Doctrine is what you believe as your final authority that describes what you believe about right and wrong, what right and wrong is. Now, would you say the New Agers' doctrine is the same as a Bible believer's doctrine? Are you kidding? Absolutely not. Their definition, well, they don't even have a final. They are their final authority. But their doctrine that they come up with off of their own final authority shows them a whole different category about what's right and wrong than we do with our doctrine from the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority, and the author of the Word of God is our final authority. And we stand on the doctrine of our final authority about what right and wrong is. That's doctrine. Okay? So the Bible, we have life triumphant through doctrine. First of all, because it doesn't change. Our God stays the same. He don't change His Word. There's a lot of folks that change His Word, and they call it a Bible, and they change this and change that, and they change a lot of what is right and wrong in them books. You better be careful. That's why I said that we only study out of the King James Bible, the authorized 1611 King James Bible. And we ain't talked about that for I don't know how many lessons, but we will talk about it. In a lesson, whenever we're having a lesson specific for that. But as far as this material and our doctrine and what we're learning from the Word of God, the AB 1611 King James Bible. There have been people that's changed the Word of God. And in the Word of God, it says don't change it. God said don't fool with it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Leave it alone. And I don't know how men can have the I don't know what men are thinking whenever they get in that Bible. I would be scared to death to change a period in it. And all this meaning, what it means and what it don't mean, we ain't had no problem understanding it for the last however many lessons we've been studying, have we? Not one bit. Not one bit. A 5-year-old could sit down and listen to what we're talking about and pretty well get the gist of what the lesson was about, don't you think? Life triumphant through doctrine. Listen to this. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. I read that. Let me find my place. Okay, I think I found it. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. We're talking about life triumphant through doctrine. The Bible says, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, there's that servants I was talking about. We are servants, but we're servants of righteousness. And you see the context we're talking about now. We're not talking about, but you see it there. Remember? Okay, so there's the scripture. It's always true. But particularly on doctrine, it says, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free for sin. You see, we have a whole new doctrine, a whole new set of beliefs of right and wrong, and a whole new final authority that gives us what is right and wrong, and the truth about what is right and wrong. You see that? Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. But bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable unto all, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. We have life, a different life. We have life triumphant because it gives us benefits and it gives us promises of the life that now is that we're living, and also that which is come. And notice in that verse right there, it's talking about several different lives. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. A different life, which is to come, you see. So, interesting, huh? God's Word is so beautiful. But talking about life through doctrine, we have something that is nailed down, is concrete, it can't be moved, because God is behind it, and He's our anchor, and He's holding the truth for us, and we are anchored into Him, and we have our hope. We have our hope in His truths about what is right and wrong, and what to do and what not to do, up and down, right and left, salt and pepper, white and black, all of it, polarities. And see, the world's trying to mix all that up for everybody, trying to bring those polarities so close together that you can't tell. I remember I was watching this documentary on Vietnam, and one of the guys that was a tunnel rat that he was describing, and she was interviewing, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different fellas, and talking about how the soldiers were changed and their thinking and everything while they were over there fighting. And one of them was a tunnel rat, and she was questioning him about stepping across the line. And what do you mean by stepping across the line? Well, I'm going over there as a soldier, and I'm going to fight for what's right and wrong. And I'm not going to kill anybody for the wrong reasons. But she said, is there such thing as stepping across the line? He said, yeah, when I went over there, I told myself I wasn't going to step across that line. I wasn't going to step. Well, one thing, everybody knows that there's a line there. Stepping across the line. In other words, you go from one side to the other. One polarity is over here, one polarity is over here, and when you step across the line, you're on the other side. That's the way it's supposed to be. And he was talking about that, and he said, told myself I wasn't going to step across the line. She said, well, did you step across the line? He said, yeah, I did. And she said, well, why? And he sat there and he thought just a minute, and he said, It just seemed like I was on this side, and he said, being on the other side wasn't but one little bitty step, and it didn't seem that much different. You getting this? Now, you spiritualize that when it has to do with doctrine. You see, your doctrine is very important to you. What you believe about right and wrong and your authority that's backing that up in your life, you have to keep that in your life and make sure that that is solid and solidified in your life, that nobody can take that from you. I believe what I believe because I believe what I believe about this, about right and wrong. And the reason I believe this about right and wrong is because my doctrine comes from my God and His Word. And I believe what I believe, and my doctrine is because my God says. You see that? And that has to be solidified in your life. It has to be nailed down. Nail it down. And don't let anybody change it or add to it or take away from it. I mean, when we study, just like we're studying right now, you've learned the truth about something that we've already talked about. Okay, now as we're going through the study, we might go over that same principle or that same thing, but bring up a different truth about it. Well, you don't take that truth and take the old truth that you had and remove it and put this truth on top or in its place. Rather than, because all of God's doctrine is good, and He's teaching us everything, the way that we grow is that you keep the old truth, and then you get the new truth, and you stack that truth on top of the truth that you already have. And your doctrine grows, and your doctrine matures and multiplies, and you become more mature in what your God says about your doctrine that you believe to be right and wrong. You see? That's good stuff. But we have life triumphant through doctrine. Now, our doctrine is what we believe to be true about what is and what is not. And we accept and live by this belief based on our final authority's will, what He wants. That's what we're doing right now. We're studying God's Word. We ain't studying it for vanity. We're studying it to find out what God wants and what He says about things. Because there's so much confusion in the world, you could have one subject and 100 different answers, 1,000 different answers in this world today. But only one of them can be right. And, you know, I ain't a real smart man, but I know that there ain't a thousand different ways in one answer. I know that. And if there was, we'd be like that one fella I was talking about a while ago who wanted to blow his brains out because there's so much confusion in the world. God's not the author of confusion, and that's one thing that we have is the Lord. We have doctrine from our final authority that does not change. Now, let's look at something. Our final authority is who? Our final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. Let's nail this down and see if he's our final authority. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Did you hear what the Bible taught us right there? That Jesus Christ is our final authority. It said that the Father has put everything under his feet having to do with the things of the church. Are you part of the church? If you're born again, you are. So who is your final authority? The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, right? All right, next, our final authorities. Our final authority's will is what? Our final authority's will is the Word of God, is His Word. Let's see if that's what the Bible says. In John chapter 8, verse 47, it says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Our final authority's will is the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So, our final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our final authority's will is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is our doctrine. It's our doctrine. Listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Now, I'm giving you scriptures. You write these things down, and I'm going to give them to you at the end. But you go back over, and you nail this thing down because the Bible says it. You're hearing it right now. And you can nail it down and say, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it, because my final authority tells me so in the Word of God right there. Brother TV read it, and I read it after it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. The Word of God is our doctrine. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of our Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You got it right there in front of you while we're talking about this right here. Look at that Bible. That is your doctrine from your final authority about what to believe about right and wrong. That's your doctrine. Amen? Good stuff, huh? All right. And we have our final authority. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our final authority's will is the Word of God. The Word of God is our doctrine. what to believe about right and wrong, and our doctrine is what we believe to be the truth about what is and what is not. Let me read you some scripture on that one. Listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 11. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what things? The things he has written down, the things that he's talking about right now that we're reading. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and the good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth the little, but godliness is profitable unto all, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Did you hear that? Our doctrine is what we believe, that we have been taught, that the Bible has taught us, and our preacher and the people that God have put over us to teach us, and God the Holy Ghost has taught us, is our doctrine from our final authority. And we can trust in Him and trust in His Word and stake our soul on what He has said. I'm glad about that. I don't know about you. I need somebody to trust in. I need somebody that ain't going to let me down. Don't you? I need somebody that's got the right stuff. All this stupid, idiotic stuff going on in the world today, man, it'd take you a lifetime to try to pick something out. And then you wouldn't be sure if you're right or wrong and wouldn't have no peace about it. I got peace about my final authority. I got peace about His doctrine. You know why I respect the Lord? Because He not only tells me what I do right, He tells me what I do wrong. And He helps me correct it. And loves me in the meantime, and feeds me, and takes care of me, and pays my bills, and keeps me out of all the danger in this world. And He does you too. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Don't get no plainer than that, does it? No plainer than that. So what have we learned today? We're talking about life triumphant through what? We're talking about life. We're talking about a triumphant life, but through what? Life triumphant through prayer. Life triumphant through Christ's death. Life triumphant through doctrine. And then we have some more in that. But I think what we're going to do is go ahead and stop right now and kind of half this. And on the next recording, we'll pick up right after this doctrine. And we will pick up on the next one, which is life triumphant through God the Holy Ghost. Through God the Holy Ghost. Now, let me give you the scriptures for today. You got your pencil? Okay, here they are. John chapter 16, verse 22 through 24. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Excuse me. John chapter 17, verse 2. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. John chapter 8, verse 47. James chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6 through 11. And the last one for today is John chapter 17, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Well, at least I didn't turn the music on two or three times this time, huh? Amen. Well, don't we have a good time studying God's Word? I tell you what, that's all good news we studied today. That is triumphant life as a Christian, being able to pray and talk to the Lord, isn't it? And also knowing that our Lord's death is substantial and it's concrete and it's never going to be taken away. It's always a credit for whosoever. And that's wonderful. And then also our doctrine, that the Lord didn't just die for us and leave us all alone without nothing to believe. He gave us something to believe in. And just think, one of these days, all this that we're practicing and trying to put into practice about being good Christian, I challenge anybody to try to be a Christian. You think you're doing something real special and you somebody strong? Go ahead and ask the Lord to save you and see if He will, like He said He will. People say, well, how do I know, God? Have you tried? Ask Him to save you. See if He will. But I challenge anybody to try to be a Christian. I'm talking about a Christian that loves Christ. I'm talking about a Christian that's exercising Christ's love and suffering with the Lord, like the Bible teaches. And our God is not our God is God. He's not one of these fake gods. He is God indeed. So praise the Lord. You have a wonderful afternoon or evening or whatever it is, and get you a good meal to eat and put your feet up and listen to some good music and give your God praise and get you a good night's sleep. We'll talk about some more of this on the next program. This is Brother Thurman, and I'll talk to you soon. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.